In 2008, the Lord brought together a group of women in Schaumburg, Illinois, for the very first True Woman Conference. A True Woman movement was born in that place that weekend, and by God's grace, it has continued to grow in hearts and homes around the world. Now, 10 years later, we're coming back to celebrate what God has done. And we'll look at what He's doing in women's lives today and what He may have in store for us in the years ahead. Dr. Eric Mason, Dana Gresh, Betsy Gomez, Mary Cassian, and others will be with us at True Woman 18. And Jackie Hill Perry, who you'll be hearing in a conversation today on the broadcast, will be joining us as well. So I hope you'll be there September 27th through 29th in Indianapolis. The early registration ends May 1, and we're expecting that this conference will sell out before summer. So make your plans now and get all the details at reviveourhearts.com.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for April 4th, 2018. This week, Nancy has been talking with spoken word poet Jackie Hill Perry. Yesterday, we heard about the power of the gospel to save Jackie from a lifestyle of homosexuality. To hear that part of the story, go to our archives at reviveourhearts.com. Now here's Nancy continuing that conversation with Jackie Hill Perry. And if you have younger children with you, know that today's program has some mature themes.
You experienced temptation, you said, as a young believer, still some of the things that have been so much a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Did the temptation begin to diminish? What was that process of the Lord changing you in those areas?
I think, the first 2 years were probably the hardest because the temptations were still, they were so frequent, so real, so tangible.
Did you ever fall?
Yeah, not physically, but emotionally, yes. I had a relationship with a friend who used to be a lesbian, and we were emotionally, I think, in a relationship. We wouldn't call it that. We called each other best friends, you know, but it was a relationship that was not okay. It was definitely idolatry, needing each other in ways that we should not have needed each other, being with each other far too often. And my discipleship broke that off of me too, which is now like one of the counsels that I try to offer people, because what happens is they might come out of the lifestyle and say, now I need to save everybody in it. I need to, you know, disciple everybody that's gay. And it's just like, I don't know if that's wise for you right now. I think you need to be discipled. I think mm-hmm. you need to be poured into. I think you need to care about God anchoring your heart, because it's danger in fleeing from something that was an idol to you and going back in it and not thinking that you won't be held captive again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I became a product of that in the name of evangelism. And so I failed a lot, I think, until when I got discipled and I learned how to be honest with myself about my temptations, how to be honest with other people and be okay with exposing myself, but also how to fear God and love Him and apply His gospel to my temptations, is when it's not like they subsided, but I think they had less power over me, over my mind. I think as I just learned to love God, everything, I just realized pride is a bigger issue than homosexuality is. Submission
wow.
is a bigger issue than that is. I think that's a manifestation oftentimes of other issues. And so I think as I start to grow in love with Jesus, it got better. And that doesn't mean that I'm still not tempted, because I still do see women as beautiful. And I think there are times when my mind wants to see them as beautiful in another light, in a light that's perverted, in a life that's not right. And I have the option to see God as better. And I think that's what I've tried to learn to do, is like, you can lust after her, you can pursue this. It won't make you happy. It doesn't make God happy. It won't satisfy you. God is good. He's better. He's worthy. He's merciful. He's gracious. Choose Him in this moment. And I think it's hard to even think about the characteristics of God and then look at a woman and think that they are better than Him. It's like, no, He's good. He's merciful. What has He done? What did He do on the cross? Who is He in Christ? And so part of that process has helped me.
So was there a point at which you found yourself identifying internally in your mind, in your thoughts, in your emotions, more as a woman
mm-hmm.
and more as a heterosexual, feeling this is who I am, this
yeah.
is what I am? What was that more just a mental thing first? Did the emotions follow?
I don't think I ever titled myself like that. I think I never said that I was gay. I said that I was straight, but I don't know if I really thought about it as much. I think I just was living. I don't think I really started to really consciously think about my womanness until I got married and became a mother. That's when it became real.
Talk about how you got to that place.
Yeah.
Like when you became a Christian, at that point, would you ever have envisioned yourself marrying a man? Is that something you wanted?
I wanted it. I didn't think it would be fun. I thought it would be something that I had to do because I'm a Christian now. But I didn't see it as something that I would embrace or enjoy. And I think that's why I was okay with being single for so long. I wasn't content in being single. I just didn't want to be with boys. And I was fine with that. I just was like, I need to learn how to love Jesus and like people and love people and serve people more. Because boys, I loved God, but I did not like men still. And I knew that it would have to be a work of God for me to even think of being with a dude, you know? And so when I did start to feel an affection for Preston, I thought I was just bored. I was like, maybe I just want somebody to text when I'm at home. I don't think this is like real.
Tell us how he came into your life.
So when I was in LA, there was an event called Lyricist Lounge. And this guy walks up with this other girl to do this duet poem called Soul Ties. And I had never seen two people do poetry at the same time before. That was new to me. And so I'm watching him and I was like, okay, that was a cool poem. But I saw that he could have done better. And so when I was going to the back of the church, Preston speaks to me. He was like, your poem was tight. That was cool. I was like, yours was too, but you were holding back. He was like,
this is
huh?
The first time you met him.
Yeah. He was like, huh? I was like, you was holding back. But you did good. I just know you was holding back. And so he told me, he was just taken aback because he was like, I just met this girl and she corrected me. He was like, but instantly that made me like you because he likes people who are honest with him. He was like, I was holding back. A whole lot. And so that was the first time we met was I heard his testimony. He heard my testimony. I corrected him, helped him a little bit. And we became friends for about 3 years.
Was he living out there?
No, he lived in Chicago and I lived in L.A.
So this was a long distance friendship?
Yeah. But we saw each other a lot just because we did poetry, traveling poetry. So I would be in Chicago. He would be in L.A. And so we were cool. And there were a lot of times when he would call me a lot and want to talk to me, but I was trying to guard my heart. I didn't want to have affections for people in ways that I didn't think was wise. And so we didn't talk as much as he probably would have liked. And so I started to feel an attraction for him. And I just thought I was bored or lonely. So I talked to my disciple. I was like saying, I'm starting to like Preston, and I don't know what to do with this. I was like, I think I'm just being thirsty. It's like, I don't know. And she was like, take it to the Lord. Submit it to him, let him handle it or whatever. And so that happened for about a year and I never acted out on it. I never told him. I never let on that I liked him. I remember even asking friends around us, like, do I act like I like Preston? And she was like, no, if anything, he acts like he likes you. And so finally, I went to God. I said, Lord, my affections for Preston are increasing and I don't know what to do with this. And I was like, I need your help. So if it's your will for us to be together, then put it on his heart to pursue me because I don't feel like that's my place to pursue him. But if it is your will for us to just be friends, please give me the self-control to treat him like a brother and not a crush. So a couple weeks or a week later, he calls me and he was like, I got to tell you something. And I was like, what? And he was like, God has put it on my heart, I think, to pursue you. And he was like, I don't even know if you like me, but I like you. Do you even like me? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, really? He was like, I'd never known. And I was like, yeah, I've liked you for a year. And so
good for him for stepping up to the plate.
I know. He was terrified. But when he found out that I liked him, he was like, that meant so much to me. Because most of the women that have liked me have always told me, and to me, it always made me not want to pursue them now because you've taken the power that I could have had to just be the man and start the relationship off.
So as you entered into that relationship, that courtship, and you guys were very brave, you videotaped pieces and parts of that and let everybody see it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all smooth.
No, it was terrible.
How was it terrible?
It was terrible. It was really a rough time. Preston was the first male relationship I've had. One. Two, not only was I adjusting to being with a man with how men think, how men act, but also being with a man physically. Like, I wasn't used to beards. I wasn't used to somebody being stronger than me. I wasn't used to a man holding me like a woman. I wasn't used to that, and I didn't like it. It felt like even his strength made me feel inferior. It's like, I don't like the fact that you're stronger than me. I don't like the fact that you have the possibility to rule me in certain ways. And so that was a hard adjustment. Even the hugging thing, like, it makes you feel feminine when men hug you. And I didn't want to feel feminine. I didn't want to feel weak. And so it was hard in that sense. But also, being with him brought out a lot of the lies I had believed about men, and I fought against it. I didn't trust him. I felt like he would hurt me. I felt like any access he had to my heart would be a means by which he could turn his back on me like my dad did.
So fear of pain?
Pain, yeah. And fear of, like, the word submission. Like, I'm not going to, in my mind, I wasn't going to submit to him, because submitting to him meant that he could hurt me. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you that I'm stronger than you. So for 2 years, our relationship was just butting heads the entire time. So while I'm scared that he's going to hurt me, so I'm bucking up against him and I'm not trusting him, he's trying to fix me. And so in him trying to fix me, he's trying to dominate me. And he wanted to have a conversation about scripture every single week about submission and this and this and this. And so I'm fighting him. He's fighting me. So it was just terrible.
Battle of the sexes.
It really was, like, lived out. And that didn't change till we got married.
You got married.
Yes.
Out of that journey.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember seeing a video that you videotaped a counseling session you had with your pastor, Brian, there.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, you guys had just had a big argument on the way to the counseling session.
Probably. I think we did.
And then I think that's what you talked about in the counseling session.
Yeah, we were mad at each other.
So why did you get married?
We felt called to each other. I knew Preston was my husband for very practical reasons. He was the only man that I respected in that way. Like, I respected my pastor, but one of the few men in my life or friends in my life that I really respected as a man. I saw that he loved God. He loved people. He was consistent. Consistency is a really big deal to me. Like, he consistently loved me. I remember there was a time, it was in June. It was around my birthday. And it was before we got engaged. And I was dealing with depression. And because I was, when I deal with depression, I'm automatically attacked with homosexuality because I want to go back to what is comforting. And so I remember telling him, I was like, I don't know why I'm with you. I was like, I don't know why I'm with you. I should just be with girls. I just really don't know why we're together. I don't like you. I don't love you. I don't think this is going to work. And so Preston cried, and Preston is not a crier. And so the next day, we were in Trinidad. So when we came back to America, we were just done talking to each other. And I remember I was at work, and he texted me, and he said, I love you. And I just broke. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, I just rejected this man and told him that I should be with women and that I should not be with him. And he responded, not even by bringing any of it up, by saying, I love you. And it was like, I can't not marry him. Like, I can't not marry somebody who loves me like Jesus. That mixed with we had the same goals, same visions, and he loved me.
So did you get married anticipating that you would keep butting heads, or do you think it was just going to be magically good after that?
No, I was actually encouraged that we butt heads a lot because we were getting counsel. We got counsel while we were dating. We were getting counsel while we were engaged because we knew we needed help from wiser people than us. And so we were learning, though we butt heads a lot, we were learning how to work our issues out in a functional, not dysfunctional way. But I was encouraged because I knew so many married people who had all these butterflies and stuff while they were recording. And then when they got married, it went haywire because they were caught off guard by the fact that marriage isn't easy. And so I felt like we were primed in a way to deal with the difficulties of marriage that other people weren't. And so when we did get married, one thing that completely changed how we dealt with each other was when we started to trust each other more. There was a time where we have cable. And so our cable got cut off for some reason. We didn't have money. And so we were forced to talk and be with each other for weeks. And that month where we were just with each other, we became friends again. And when we became friends again, we trusted each other in ways where he loved me and let the Holy Spirit do his thing, not trying to force me or change me or fix me, but love me in ways that where he trusted God to do the work. And in his love for me, then I saw, oh, he's chilling out. He loves me. He's not forcing me to be something I'm not. Where I start to submit and love and respect him in ways where we just became cool and friends. Like before, we fought every day. Fighting is not the barometer of a marriage, of course. But now we barely argue. Like we really do love each other and enjoy each other. And I think spending time with each other and just trusting God with each other did something in us.
You hadn't had a lot of positive role models for men or for women in marriage. The whole issue of respect, was that a new thing for you?
Absolutely. I'm not a respectful woman, naturally. I was taught, you know, you say what you want. You say how you feel. So, and I can be very sharp and quick. And so if I felt a certain way, then I said it. And Preston had to tell me, like, I don't like when you speak to me like that. And I thought it was strange. Like, I just asked you what you about to do. But the way I would ask him was in such a domineering, disrespectful way. And I think I needed to see that in my submission, in my respect, it wasn't me being inferior. It was me living like Jesus. It was me honoring him. It was me humbling myself, and that these things were beautiful to God. I think when I started to see my behavior as a wife through the lens of scripture instead of culture is when I found joy. It was when I did it with joy. Like, I think if the culture defines my womanness, then I'm always going to be very rebellious, and I'm going to see that God's scriptures, I'm going to think God's scriptures are foolish when they're not. They're good.
So you said that when you got married is when you began to grapple with your womanhood in a new way. How did that happen?
Because I wanted to be like Titus too. To be wise, to be homemakers, to respect and love their husbands, and that so that the word of God would not be reviled. And I didn't want the word of God to be reviled. And so I wanted to figure it out so that I could be pleasing to Jesus, but also because I knew God has given me a lot of influence with people. And so it's me wanting to honor God, but it's also not me wanting to lead other people astray. It's like, man, if you're going to follow me like I follow Christ, I need to follow Christ right. I need to follow him well. So I just start to really try to live out what does it mean to be respectful? What is that? What is language? How does language impact my worship? How does language impact my husband? I think seeing how much I affect him in ways that other people don't. And so it's like, man, like, do I want to affect him in ways that keeps him from living the way God has called him to do? Like, if he's my leader, if he has authority over me and I'm his helper, I want to help him in a way that makes Jesus happy, even with my words, even with my tone, even with my facial expressions, because my eyebrows can say a whole lot.
Without you opening your mouth.
Yeah, even if I didn't say anything. So I think in being a wife, I just felt obligated in a way to figure out what it meant to be a biblical wife, not to just be a woman with a ring on her finger.
And how would you describe your relationship today? How is it different from when you first got married?
We have fun together. We listen to each other. We consider each other in the small things. I love Food Network. He loves Animal Planet. And so oftentimes it would be like, I'd be like, do you want the remote? Like, so you can watch Animal Planet. And then he'll say, I'll watch one show and then you can watch the rest. And so just the little stuff where we consider each other's feelings, or our schedules are crazy oftentimes, or my schedule is super crazy. And so I try even ways to honor him with my schedule. It's like, if I know that I'm going to be out of town Friday and Saturday, then I make sure that my Sunday is clear so I can spend time with him. Or I let him know, feel free to go out with your friends because I know you've been at home all day. Go do your thing. Just finding ways to honor each other in ways that we didn't before. And then if he tells me to do something, I try my best to not respond in a rebellious way and see that he wants the best for me. He's not trying to control me. He's just trying to honor me and do what's best.
Jackie, I wish Preston was here today.
as part of this conversation, and we had originally thought he might be able to be, but he's taking care of Eden today with her little cold, but he's at home. Can we just give him a call? And I'd love to have him weigh in with some perspective on what we've been talking about.
Right. No problem. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Preston. It's your friend Nancy and your wife Jackie.
Hi, Sugar Plum.
Sugar Plum.
I've never called you that in my life.
Hey, we've been having this amazing conversation with your wife and hearing her side, her version of the story of, well, one, how she came to know Jesus, and then your courtship and your marriage. And I just thought, I'd love to get your perspective on some of this. And you have a few minutes, we can just pick up a conversation here?
Yeah, sure.
Well, so Jackie's telling us that during your courtship, you guys fought a lot. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, we did.
Why do you think that was?
Oh, man, I think it was multiple things, but I think mainly, I just know on my part, God really convicted me when he showed me that I was trying to mold Jackie into what I wanted her to be as a wife, instead of just nurturing her with love and discipling her like I should be. And I became like more like a Pharisee than Christ to her, you know. So I realized that, and I just remember it was a season in the beginning of our marriage where, like, you know, she said she hated coming home because I always wanted to talk and try to, like, bring out her flaws. And it was just, so on my part, I know for just to man up on that, I know that was one of the reasons why. But then I think the main reason is we didn't know each other. Like, I think we knew each other, like, on a personal friendship level, but just like this, it was just the dynamics of our relationships just changed so drastically, you know. Of course, with the courtship, the engagement, and all of that, but marriage was just a whole nother beast of itself. So when we got married, I think it was just an adjustment period where we just had to learn each other.
Was it a challenge for you to handle her past, the fact that she had struggled with her womanhood, with her sexuality? Was that an obstacle for you, or the Lord just gave you grace to love her through that? How did you feel about that?
Yeah, so I think it was a mixture of two things. I think it was a mixture of the Lord giving me a lot of grace. Yes, because I had a past of my own, and so during our courtship, and when I felt like the Lord was leading me to pursue her, I think that he just prepared my heart for her in such a way where, you know, those things wasn't as difficult to deal with. And I just kind of like looked at her past like my past. Like, she struggled with sin just like I struggled with sin. Sin just looked different in mine, but it was still sin, you know, and she struggled with, you know, her past at times. And I kind of knew it, so the Lord prepared my heart. And I think God was just sovereign and just allowing us to be friends for 3 years as well. Because though I knew those, you know, some old feelings might come up one day, or just thinking about what she went through in her past, she was my friend for 3 years before I pursued her. So we had a very honest and open, you know, relationship before I even thought about even pursuing her. I mean, when I used to want to talk to girls, I would go to Jackie and ask Jackie, like, what do you think about this girl? You know what I mean? She was like, you know, and vice versa. We would talk, and sometimes she would tell me her struggles. So I think one of the things that, I think the main thing actually that helped me with that in our marriage is, though I knew she might struggle at times, because I knew her so well, I trusted her character. I trusted that the Lord really saved, like, this girl, like you know, and I trusted that the Lord would keep her, you know. And so that's kind of my whole thing. I've had people ask me that question before, like, are you, especially guys, like, are you afraid because her past and all of that? And I was like, no, I really don't trust in Jackie like that. I have to just trust in the Lord that redeemed her. And I over time, I really was confident that God had saved us from our past.
Hearing you talk about how God had forgiven you reminds me of that passage in Luke 7 where it says, he who's been forgiven much loves much. And I think to have a consciousness of your own sin and need gives a lot of grace then to extend to others with their issues.
Yeah.
Jackie talked a little bit about how, because she had not had really great role models of manhood or womanhood, and said she wasn't respectful, she wasn't, she had a problem with authority, and talked a little bit about how, by the way, I love how she talks about you. It's really, really sweet. But she talks about how earlier in your marriage that she felt a lot of freedom to just say things disrespectfully and had a lot of learning and God changing her. How have you seen her change in those areas? And what does that mean to you as a man?
Man, it means a lot. I've seen Jackie change drastically. Like, you know, and that's the beauty of being in a marriage with someone who has the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, if we wasn't Christians, like, it wouldn't work. Like, our relationship,
so wouldn't.
It just wouldn't.
So you guys get married knowing that you both have trust issues, that you have fear issues, and at Preston knowing that Jackie has had a fear of being hurt, but she wants to trust the Lord. How does that motivate you as a man to what kind of husband does that help you become? How does that, what does that do to you as a man, realizing the responsibility you have now as the husband of this woman who's got a fear of pain?
Yeah, that was just a good question. A lot of things, to be honest with you, in the beginning was trial and error. Like, really, it was trial and error, and it was just like God doing work in me too. Like, one of the things that the Lord kind of, I think the Lord showed me in the beginning was, He did a work in me that this whole process of me trying to love Jackie, if that makes any kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that God revealed a lot of selfishness. God revealed a lot of pride in my own heart dealing with someone who has a hard time trusting me. And he just showed me, like, you know, are you willing to really love like I love you? Are you really to sacrifice your feelings, your own emotions, your own pride, your own selfishness? Are you really willing to lay all of this down in order to please me and how you love Jackie? Like, you know, I was consistently faced with that question a lot. So God just began to do work on me. So I took a lot of it as a personal call to the Lord. It was just like, okay, I know Jackie is doing this, but, like, what am I telling you to do?
Mm-hmm.
I know Jackie's not responding to you right now, but what am I telling you to do? Like, who are you trying to please? You know, I know you feel rejected, but I was rejected for you, you know? It was just always like it was always like self-reflecting. It was just like, oh, God. To be honest with you, I got tired of it. I was irritated so many times, like, you know. So I think it helped me. And I think in terms, I think it just gave me more grace. And I think for Jackie, too, I think she had to have a lot of grace for me in the beginning, you know, and vice versa. And I think, I hope that answered the question. I just think that that over time, like, the Lord just did a work in my heart personally. And as he continued to do a work in my heart, I think it was easier and easier to deal with.
Just interesting to hear both of you that you realize it's not your marriage that's the issue as much as your relationship with the Lord. And as he's worked in that, then he's worked in your marriage. It's interesting watching your the marriage highlights video that you guys have on YouTube, hearing Jackie's mother say she's hard-headed and stubborn, and he's hard-headed and stubborn. And would you say that was true of both of you?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people ask, a lot of people who know both of us, they ask us a lot. Like, I had a guy who I kind of walk with in church, from my church, ask me, how do we coexist together? Cause like, because he knows both of us. He knows me better. But he was just like, you know, how do you guys get along? Or, like, don't you guys bump heads? Because a lot of people look at us as, like, very hard-headed and stubborn and really strong-willed people. So, you know, I had people tell us we wasn't even going to work in the beginning. Like, I don't know if y'all going to work out. But, yeah, I think it's just grace.
Yeah.
Really.
Holy
grace.
Spirit.
And a whole lot of grace.
And I think I had to learn that, like, having trust issues is not an excuse not to obey God. I think I really had to tap into that the primary commandments are love God and love people. And that, so if you have a trust issue, you deal with that, but that's not an excuse for lovelessness. It's not. And so it's like the way I treat Preston is the way I'm treating God. Like, I have to die to myself and love this man regardless of what my past may have done to me. And that doesn't mean that we just, that's not an excuse to let people walk over us or whatever, but it's just like, no, like, you honor God by loving him, even if you're scared. Like, love God more. Don't fear what is fearful, you know?
Well, I'll just say that as an outsider looking in on your relationship over now the last several years, it has just been really a great joy for me. Of course, when I started watching your courtship develop, I had no idea that when we were having this conversation, I would be married myself. But to watch the two of you both really pursue the Lord and to let him mold and shape and pursue you, and to watch two strong people with a lot of baggage and a lot of issues get to the cross, get to the grace of God, and keep drinking deeply at the fountain of his amazing love and grace. And then to watch him build this beautiful, growing marriage and family, it's a testimony. It's a huge testimony to the power of God to transform, to renew minds. You know, I look at you guys and I think there's nothing too difficult for God. And then to see him making you fruitful and using you guys to minister to and bless others. And you're still, you know, so much of that story yet to be written. And I can hardly wait to see all that God has in store and the ways he wants to use you. And it makes me also feel the need to really pray for protection for your hearts, for your marriage, because the enemy is, I can't imagine taking this sitting down.
Like when you say that, I can't help but to think about, like, how, you know, influential you and Robert has been with me and Jackie. I know you personally have, you know, poured into Jackie and been an inspiration to Jackie for some time now. But I don't know, me and Jackie was talking during you guys' wedding, and we was like, man, we want to do our vows now. Because after that wedding, like, the way you guys honored the Lord, and, like, I don't know, when Robert, like, stood there and just quoted scripture to you, it was like, man, I need to, he made me check myself, you know, like, man, I need to step my game up. But just to see you, you know, single for so many years and then trust the Lord when he sent Robert your way, and just really we saw submission to the Lord that I don't have. So that was just a blessing to see. So you guys have been an inspiration to us.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And you're inspiring us, and we're learning from you. And all of us really looking to the Lord to, and he's the pattern, right? For manhood,
yeah.
for our womanhood, for marriage, for, his submission to the Father, his care for his bride, the church. In every way, it's Christ who gives us the portrait, the picture of who he wants us to be. So we're in this together, growing, seeking him. And thank you for just joining our conversation, and I want to pray a blessing on you guys, if I could do that before we leave you here.
Yeah.
Lord, I listened to Jackie and Preston, and I've watched them and listened to them over the years and seen something of their journey, their pilgrimage, their discipleship, and it's been such a joy to see you drawing their hearts to yourself, bringing them to faith, to repentance, to grace, the transforming work of your Spirit and your Word in their lives has been really powerful. And now to see you having brought them together and keeping them together and making them not just in a tolerable marriage, but a marriage that is growing, and that a growing friendship and a growing fruitfulness. And now having entrusted them with this precious little girl. And Lord, only you know what you have in store for them in the years ahead. But I pray that every one of your good purposes for them will be fulfilled. I pray that what the enemy intended to trap them, to ensnare them, to put them in bondage, to ultimately bring them to death. Thank you that the works of darkness have been overcome by Christ and his cross, and that now they are walking in the light. They're walking in truth. And I pray that their lives might be fruitful, that they might be protected from every assault of the evil one, that in the days when they may face stresses or challenges or obstacles that perhaps they haven't even anticipated at this moment, as Robert and I will as well. And in those times, I pray that they would keep running to you and find you trustworthy and faithful and true and powerful, and that your presence in their lives, in their marriage, and in their home would be not only a light and a power to them, but also that then you would use them to be a light and to bring the presence of Christ into other homes, other hearts, other marriages, and into this dark culture that so desperately needs to see the reality of who you are and the reality of Christ-centered love. So thank you, Lord, for them. Bless them, protect them, support them, sustain them, sanctify them by your grace, and continue to satisfy them both with your steadfast love. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth praying for Jackie Hill Perry and her husband, Preston. All week, Jackie's been telling us about her journey. She was a girl full of hurts who got into lesbian relationships. She's been showing us the power of the gospel to transform a life. Her growth and discipleship hasn't always been easy or simple, but it's a beautiful thing to observe. If you know anyone who has faced hurt or abandonment in their lives, this series would be encouraging to them. You can hear it again or read the transcript at reviveourhearts.com. And you can hear Jackie speak when she joins us at True Woman 18, the conference coming to Indianapolis September 27th through the 29th. Nancy will be there along with Dr. Eric Mason, Mary Cassian, Betsy Gomez, and Dana Gresh. Seating is limited, so get details and make plans now. When you register before May 1st, you can get in on the early pricing discount. Get all the details at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. When Jackie Hill Perry became pregnant with her first child, she was struggling to see the baby as a gift. She heard the Holy Spirit speaking to her heart.
You can't say you want me to get the glory out of your life and then you're mad at the ways I choose to do it. It's just like, if you want me to be exalted and glorified, then let me be Lord in that area.
More from Jackie tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries, pointing us to the truth that sets us free.